We have a very special guest. Not that our other guests haven't been special, but David McCartney has been with us on numerous occasions. Tomorrow he is holding a very special Chautauqua Talks at the Floyd County Museum. Good morning.
Good morning, Kay. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave.
Thank you for blessing your presence in our studio once again.
Thank you both so much for having me. It's always great seeing you both.
We always love having you in because it's like a wealth of knowledge
that I had
no idea about.
Yes.
And this is like the perfect topic of
PCBJ. Exactly. So, first of all, you are not, this studio is not new to you. You've been in here on many occasions.
Decades.
Many years. Decades. Talk about that.
Well, it's been over 50 years. This very room, the studio, we're facing Main Street here in downtown Charles City. I was a high school student when I first worked here way, way back in 1972. Maybe I shouldn't say way, way back because I know some of your listeners are of a certain age like I am. But I was born and raised here in Charles City. I graduated from high school here in 1974. I'm a Comet. And although I live in Iowa City these days, I still have a very strong attachment to my hometown. And KCHA played a very, very big part of that. It was really a privilege for me to work here part-time in high school back in the 1970s. The owner of the station at that time was a very kind and, I would say, patient man by the name of Vern Bromberg, and he entrusted me and other high school age kids to work here at a time when they could cut their teeth, get to know the business of radio. And when I sit in this studio, I think back on that time 50 plus years ago and what warm memories I have of it.
Today is a really spectacular day because you're in studio, and it just so happens that our very own Jim Koloff is also in studio, and today's the first day you guys have met.
That's right.
Yes, I did not know that you would be here, David, today. I heard Chris mention that on the air this morning, and I was excited to be able to meet you. And I know you and my father, Tony, have met many times and serve on a board together and do some important work on the archives of broadcasting for Iowa. So thank you for your work that you do there and the support that you've given to those archives. That's very, very meaningful and very generous of you.
Jim, thank you so much. It's great meeting you in person today. And I have to say, the station has never sounded better. It's really a fine, fine company you have now for, a dozen years now, I think, at least, or going on 15 years.
I think 15 years here in Charles City, and it's an honor to own this station, and it's an honor to work with the crew that we have. You mentioned that it has never sounded better, but that's because of the crew that's doing it right now and the work they do with these stations.
That's true. Thanks so much, Jim. And you mentioned the archives. If I may just put a very brief plug in for this. It's the Archives of Iowa Broadcasting. It's a project at Wartburg College in Waverly. Jim's father, Tony, and I are serving on the advisory board for the archives, and we keep a lot of broadcast history there from stations around the state, including KCHA.
Did you know Tony when you were originally here?
No, that was a few years before the first station in the North Iowa Broadcasting Group opened. So I go way back. KIOW in Forest City was the Koloff family's first station, and they went on the air in 1978. And that was a few years after I worked here.
Now, sitting in this studio, obviously some things have changed, some have not. We face the same direction, all that jazz. How has it changed since you originally worked here?
Well, in terms of technology, everything has changed. I see you're holding a flyer advertising my talk tomorrow at the Floyd County Museum, and it includes a picture of me taken by my mother. She visited the station. I was a little embarrassed because a friend of mine was helping me with answering phones. This was during the Saturday afternoon rock and roll show for teens. That was a tradition at the station at the time.
Very popular. Very, very popular.
And it's 1973. In that picture, I'm sitting in the control room. For some reason, I'm looking rather forlorn. I don't know why, but I'm worried about something. I was always worried about something. But in that picture, you see the whole control room. And except for the microphone, everything in that picture now is obsolete, including the announcer. But no more turntables, no more cartridge tape players. I mean, this is all language that your generation probably wouldn't know of, but we used to play vinyl. We used to have tape cartridges for the commercials. We had reel-to-reel tapes for extended programs. It's a very different environment now, and I would say a much better environment because you're less accident-prone now. I'll be right up front and say we were absolutely legendary with our mistakes on the air because it was all live. Everything was done manually from sign-on to sign-off. I think that's the other thing. KCHA used to be a daytime-only station on AM, kind of hard to believe now, but the station would not sign on. The FCC, the federal government, would not allow the station to operate at night because the channel 1580 had to be opened up for another station somewhere off in the distance. And a lot of stations, thousands of stations, were like that back in the day, up until the 1980s. That's another big change, I think, that occurred. But one thing that I think remains is the commitment to community service. You know, the people, of course, have changed over time. But I think the spirit of local radio is so strong here in Charles City and at the other Koloff media stations.
So, David, what are some other things that the history of KCHA that come to mind that you'll be talking about tomorrow?
One thing that really struck me as I was looking through lists of employees that were published in Broadcasting Yearbook over the years, I did some research on this. KCHA went on the air in 1949. It was part of that post-World War II wave of newly issued licenses when the FCC lifted its wartime freeze on news stations. And so Charles City was kind of in that tier of smaller markets that began to get its own radio facility. And one thing that really struck me when I went through the rosters in a traditionally male-dominated field, the earliest I could find, 1951, of the seven full-time staff people here, three were women. And I think that really is an interesting aspect of the history of this station, the presence of men and women on the air here. And there used to be a title called Women's Programming Director during the daytime programming catering to housewives. There was a show called A Woman's World, which was hosted for many years by Marion Kruk, a family friend of ours. And but also there was a female news director here in the mid-1950s. Her family name was Phyllis Bogus. I can't remember her married name, and unfortunately she passed on a couple of years ago. Grew up in Ionia. After high school, she came in and was hired as news director was here for about 2 years.
I did not know that. She was my husband's relative somehow, and I knew Phyllis very well. I had no idea.
It's a small world.
Oh my gosh.
But that's one, you know, Jamie, your question, I think that's one of the things in the station's history that really impressed me in terms of the hiring practices here from that time, and that goes way back almost to the beginning. And, of course, the history of community service here. At my talk tomorrow, I'm going to play about 7 minutes of a recording of KCHA on the night of May 15th, 1968, the night of the tornado. KCHA went back on the air about 3 hours after the storm hit. The owner of the station, Vern Bromberg, the chief engineer, Dick Techter, and a couple of other staff members, were able to get out to the transmitter. The tower was left untouched. The studio right here was badly damaged. They could not broadcast from here, but they set up a card table, microphone, a portable turntable, and they got the station up and going about 8 o'clock that night, and they broadcast all night. even though it was a daytime only station, the FCC in dire situations could allow those daytime only stations to broadcast in an emergency, and this was clearly a catastrophic emergency at the time. But the station offered comfort, it offered guidance, it offered information to its listeners during an hour of need. And that, I think, really was truly one of the finest hours of this station in what was really one of the worst times in this town's history. I just remember it so well. I was 12 at the time. Our home was untouched. We had some friends staying with us who had lost their homes on the north end. We had, I think, about 8 or 9 people staying with us that night and for a few nights following. And I remember putting my big AM/FM shortwave portable radio up on the mantle on the fireplace in our living room tuned to KCHA so that everybody in the house could listen if they wanted to drop into our living room and listen for a while. We just kept the radio going. I think that's really one of the most remarkable moments in this station's history. Many others, too, and I won't go into, of course, but that really stands out.
So tomorrow at your talk, you'll play some audio from that night and,
yes.
and talk about other parts of the station's history.
Yes.
Do you have other audio from any other times that you'll be showcasing?
Yes, this will be a hoot. Jim Barker was the morning man here at KCHA for many years, and Jim saved some air checks. He made air check being a recording of yourself made off the air. When he first started here in 1966, and I dug up a few of the old station jingles, wherever you go, there's radio. I mean, these very over, it was the 60s. It was over-the-top production with a full orchestral, not full, but, you know, a five-piece combo, probably instrumental combo with a vocal group. And they did these customized jingles or station breaks for stations all over the country. And Jim saved a few of them. Technical quality isn't quite there, but I got a few of those, so it'll be fun.
That'll be fantastic. Yeah. This I'm looking forward to your talk tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's about an hour.
About an hour. Yeah. Try to leave time for folks to have their own memories of the station to share as well.
So if people have memories of the station, they can share those and be part of the program.
Absolutely.
Well, that sounds like a fun time and. Some memories will be coming back for sure of the many years that KCHA has served the community.
I want to stress this will be a history of KCHA. I think it's impossible to have the history because there are so many names that I'm sure unintentionally overlook tomorrow. But looking forward to it and hope to see you all there.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, David, for joining us. And of course, obviously, we would love for you to make it there. If you can't, they will be live streaming that from the museum's Facebook page as well. And I believe we're going to be sharing a link on our own website, too, so you can check that out at kchanews.com. Thank you very much, David, for joining us, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great.
Awesome. You're welcome anytime.